Hey, good morning. It's good to see you all here. This is the Consumer Hort and Master Gardener Working Group workshop, and today we're going to be talking about the science of consumer horticulture. When we started thinking about this, well, in past years we have tended to focus on the Master Gardener component of our working group, so we decided to focus in on the science and research. And as we thought through that, we are not known for being the Nobel Prize winners in horticulture, and that's because there are a lot of challenges in doing research in consumer horticulture, one of which is the major research questions often fall in the purview of another field, like we'll be working with water people or sociologists or nutritionists, and that requires intensive team building, which will be the subject of our first talk. We've had some substantial funding challenges, too, in funding our research, and that makes it difficult to set research goals, which we'll be addressing in the next couple of talks as well. So with that, I present our first speaker, Dr. Mary Myers.
Thank you, Ellen, and good morning. I was really happy when Ellen asked me to do a presentation for this session. And I think it took me a long time, though, to figure out that she was really asking me to talk about the teamwork and how we got this group together rather than the results of what our team has done, which we had focused on, as you said, a lot. So I'm going to talk about both of those, so I hope both of those are helpful for everybody here in the office. In the office, right. At the meeting. So our group, this North Central Consumer Horticulture IPM Working Group, is made up of folks from the North Central states. We did have a few people from North Carolina join, thinking this was NC. Everything with NC is North Carolina, isn't it? And, you know, I tried to explain to them NC meant North Central, not North Carolina, but whatever. But we still have a couple from North Carolina, but basically it's this nine North Central states that you can see up there. And our goals are really to teach IPM to the general public and especially master gardeners. Master gardeners tend to be 90% of our audience, but we do have some general public that can take advantage of the work that we're doing. And then, you know, I'm wondering, it's been a while since this is fine. So we've been working together for, I should have looked up the actual history about how many years we've done this, 5, 6 years, something like that, maybe a little longer than that. But what really got us going was the fact that the North Central IPM region offers these working group grants. So I think there are 4 IPM centers across the United States. Does anybody know, is it 4 or is it 6? I think it's 4. And each one of these regions gets a big federal allocation of money if things continue like they have been in the past. And so the IPM specialists from the state and so on work together with this money. Each region can handle this money differently. And the North Central region, I believe, is the only one that gives money out for working groups. But all of the regions give their money out in grants. So it's competitive among the regions. So the North Central region just happened to decide that working groups were something that they wanted to fund. So our Consumer Hort IPM is one of 15 working groups that's listed on the North Central region's homepage. And all of these working groups do things differently. No one is alike. Some spend all their money getting together once or twice a year, and they just fund travel for the groups to work together. So there's the Great Lakes vegetable folks and the Great Lakes fruit folks, and we all approach our work differently. Originally, the funding was $30,000 a year. That was the competitive money we were asking for from the IPM Center. It's been $20,000 the last couple of years, but actually our group hasn't really used that much money with what we've been doing, and I'll tell you what we've been doing. It's just, that's just kind of the way it has shaken out with what we've done. But if it wasn't for the North Central IPM Center and their money, we would not be a group. They really funded us. We looked somewhere else to find the funding. So what we have done is we have conference calls from 4 to 6 times a year. We get together and talk about what we're going to do. Of course, we decided what we were going to do when we wrote the grant to the North Central IPM Center. And that's, we do try to adhere to our grant. Our grant basically was, maybe that's better in the previous one. No, I didn't have that. It's here. Our grant really is to teach the public, and basically we've done that through webinars, and then we take our webinars and turn them into online learning modules in the extension. So basically we've had these webinars. Occasionally we've had a face-to-face working group meeting. I think we've done that twice in the 6 years or so we've been. So we really haven't spent our money on travel. That hasn't worked out. So within the group, we do talk about what do you want to do. We've updated Minnesota's, some of Minnesota's fact sheets. We've worked, Pam Bennett's been very active and proposed things from Ohio. But whatever our group decides to fund, the whole group agrees on it. Most of it is right in line with what we've done with our proposal for the grant in the first place. So the webinars that we have focused on have been these 90-minute live webinars, and they have been available. They're recorded, so they're available afterwards. We don't really have a good tracking mechanism, I think, for how many people are actually looking at that, but I think that's something we could probably get. I've hired a person who does the conversion from the actual webinar into an online learning module up in eExtension that has quite a few resources so that the kind of webinars live on a second life. So we could not do any of this, though, if it wasn't for eExtension. So eExtension has really helped us publicize what we're doing. Now, we don't have a community of practice with our little North Central Regional Working Group, but we work through the mechanisms that eExtension has established up there, which is the learn.extension.org and campus.extension.org. So the webinars that we have had, the four regional webinars that we've done so far, you can see over here on the left the topic that we've done. These are all, we center on a specific plant and then talk about integrated pest management of that particular plant. And we publicize these webinars mostly to master gardeners via the extension network that's set up through our members in the multiple states we have in the North Central region. The first webinar that we did, we did it slightly differently than the other three, but we really encouraged people to sign up for these webinars that were extension agents working in a county and have a group of master gardeners, a group of people there to watch the webinar so that you wouldn't be an individual, you would just be a group. Now, if you're familiar at all with eExtension, their learn.extension.org host site for webinar publications, webinar announcements, is very public, and anybody can get in there, and anybody can watch any of these webinars. So that's why I say it is very public. But the first time, you see, we had 57 groups and individuals, so we did not make the big distinction between an individual paying versus a group paying. And you can see the number of connections for the webinar there in the center, then the number of states, and this is the number of participants by state. So Colorado had 2 connections, Georgia 1, Iowa 6, Minnesota 25, Ohio 18, and so on. And then this is our total estimate for who was there. So it's very complicated to really figure out who's watching a webinar. You can have your online connection because whoever hosts the webinar can account for that, but exactly how many people are at that host site is really very tricky to get the really good reporting on that. So after the first one, we decided we would charge individuals. And that's why we have this $10 through PayPal, and that's all done through eExtension. So eExtension sets that up for us. There's just a different link on the Learn website where if you're a group, you just go into a Google Doc and put your information there. If you're an individual, we ask you to go through this other eExtension and pay $10 through PenPal. So you can see that has worked out okay, because we've actually increased. The last time we did one of these, we had 67 individuals paying $10 each to watch the webinar. So there are a lot of free webinars around, but the convenience, especially for master gardeners, just stay in their house, watch this for $10, has appeared to be okay for them. So this is the promotion of, there's the website where you can look at that now. You can see there are tons of webinars up there. And even after the webinar, that's the location it sits temporarily to watch the recording. The self-registration online with Google Docs in a spreadsheet, I've kind of maintained that, and that has been okay. There are better ways to do that. It's open to the public. If you know the URL, you can go in there, but that's kind of worked okay for us. This is one of the biggest problems that we have had is the system that we have used to do the webinars through the University of Minnesota, Adobe Acrobat, which many of you have probably used. It's a bad system now. It's way too old technology. We've had nothing but problems. In the last webinar that we did, I told our technology folks, we cannot do another webinar with you. We've just had too many audio issues, multiple people. One individual can come in multiple times to watch the webinar. And the limitation with our system in Minnesota is we can only have 200 online connections, and that's terribly small for today's audiences. So Minnesota is getting a whole new webinar system, and they've promised to have it in and up and running by September. So we'll see. There's one more month for them. But it's very inexpensive for us. That's one of the reasons our costs are so low. We just pay a $75 technician fee. There is no online per connection charge, but the system has really it's too far behind the times. So I'll show you in a minute some of our results about how we've measured how people have learned and how effective have the webinars done. This has all been through SurveyMonkey pre and post tests. And then our format has been three speakers, 20-minute presentation each with questions and answers afterwards. So 90 minutes is a fairly long amount of time for a webinar. So we asked people to do their own evaluation of how much they're learning. So this is was one on the Raspberry webinar. How would you rate for the amount you learned? So most people say they're learning a lot. We have fairly high numbers for these responses back with a survey. People like the length of the time for the webinar. We basically divide this up between a pathologist, an entomologist, and a general horticulturist. So Rhoda has done two or three of these, being our pathology collaborator. Celeste Welty has usually been the entomologist. We've had some entomologists from Illinois doing it. But this is one of the reasons I think our group has been successful, is we don't have one state that just does the teaching and the webinars. I try to always have three states doing it. They just connect in by a phone line, a conference phone line, and then we use the Adobe Connect system. If you're in Illinois and you know that one of your specialists is going to be doing the webinar, you're more likely to attract Illinois folks. So having the three people collaborate, three specialists, has worked out well. But I think that that's one of the reasons we can get away with 90 minutes. We have three different people, so there's a changeover, and it makes it a little bit more exciting. So how would you rate this? The evaluations are good as far as people like the amount of information. Everyone, of course, is using a PowerPoint presentation. There's lots of pictures, etc. And then this is the last webinar we did, and you can see this is an unacceptable amount of problems here in the middle for, the problems were not with us, but the UMN connection system, or we had problems, but we couldn't figure out why we had problems. I mean, 57% didn't have problems, but this is still way too many people that are having a problem with the webinar. So we've really encouraged these host sites to do something else besides the webinar, but it hasn't worked. You can see that most of the host sites are not doing additional programming. So we've had these at different times of the year. August, we've done the squash one and the tomato one. So the specialists could bring in problems with tomatoes or squash. They could talk about those, what's wrong with this plant, in addition to the webinar. That doesn't seem to, that's happening very much. So while we thought this would be a good focus of a meeting for Master Gardener training, they are using it for that, but they're not doing much else with it. As far as the pre and post test goes, this is actually the content of the webinar, and our Master Gardeners are the participants really learning anything about the IPM management that we're teaching. So we expect from the pre and post test to see a change in these 10 or 12 questions. Exactly the same questions, the specialists write the questions that they want to see if the participants have changed their learning. So here's one about crop rotation, and you can see that in the pre-test, 66% of the people had one answer for rotation, and then in the post-test, it went up to 91% that knew the correct answer. So we like to see changes like this. These are the type of impact statements that we're hoping to report about the effectiveness of the webinar. So let's see, so we ask every time the same question to, in the pre and post test, to rate your knowledge of IPM. And we usually get this really high percentage of low knowledge at the beginning, and how do people feel afterwards. So they tend to move from the low category to the middle, I feel okay or fair. Rarely do we get a lot of this high, but here is 35% was the high. So if we go back and look at that again, you can see only 1% was saying, hey, I know a lot. And then afterwards, 35 said they know a lot. So again, this is self-reporting, but and people have to come into the SurveyMonkey within a short amount of time afterwards. At the end of the webinar, we give them the links. Well, as far as keys to working collaboratively, we have a nice group to work with. Getting buy-in from all the participants and agreement on the goals and objectives is really important. As I said, in our grant, we really have the grant written to do the webinars and convert them to online learning modules, and people are in agreement with that. That's been a very efficient, cost-effective means for us, but if some other ideas come up, we certainly want to talk about it with the whole group. Adding to the annual performance review and counting for an annual review is really important. So, you know, I hope Rhoda puts this on her resume as a talk that she gave to, you know, 1,500 people, and these were the results of, you know, what did they learn. So we try to have all the measurements in there and to have it be an effective thing for educators. You know, we do all have the same mutual goals. We want to make a difference. This, when you have a collaborative group, who really has the ownership of the webinar? It might be kind of vague, but we do have our working group title. Everybody gets credit for this. The authors for the webinar are all up there on who presented, and we try to pass it around so people get credit. This has been one of the hardest things has been this thinking beyond your state. I know that for faculty in the promotion and tenure system, the national and then international recognition as you go up the ranks is quite important. So being recognized regionally and then nationally and internationally is important. If that's not in your criteria for promotion, maybe you don't care what's happening beyond your state. But there is a big issue about turf within extension and getting beyond your state and teaching beyond your state, who cares about that? So if you're not measured on that, it can be difficult to think to work regionally. So the income generation is a challenge in working in a group like this. eExtension holds our money for us, and we haven't spent much of that, but it has generated some money that we could possibly be self-sustainable. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about how our group works or how we collaborate together. I don't know. The University of Minnesota had bids out for several ones, and I was thinking about I've done some webinars. There's a what is it called? Education Web, Ed Web, or something. Where I've done some that they're really, really slick. You can do polling right away while the webinar is on, and I mean there are just so many better systems than Adobe Connect. So if you have suggestions, I'd like to hear it. Does anybody have a good webinar system that they want to recommend? Fortunately, our university is going to get something else, but we didn't have a lot of money, so that's why we were using the cheap one that's there. Yeah, the bandwidth issues and things like that, yeah. Yes, right. Yeah. Our Nurserymen's Association, Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association, is sponsoring a lot of webinars now, and they use a company, Peachtree something or other, in California. And they are really a commercial firm. Boy, you can tell they're a commercial firm. This voice comes on that's like a radio woman talking, and I'm thinking, are you alive? Are you really out there in California? And they're talking to you. Are you set? Are you ready to go? Well, Mary's here today. Blah, blah, blah. It's just so canned and weird. But the Nurserymen's Association is paying a lot to get that quality and technical expertise so that it's not going to mess up, you know. So, yeah,
so
Rick.
What is your $75 per session technical support?
That gets me a live person in the room with about three big boxes of equipment and a good phone conference unit. And he's supposed to make sure that all the tech stuff works fine and that the audio sounds good. But we use, we just pay for some conference phone system that's 2 cents a minute or something, fairly cheap, so that, Rhoda calls in from South Dakota and Celeste calls in from Ohio. And then I'm in Minnesota with, Michelle Grabowski, another specialist, and so Michelle and I and the specialist or tech guy are in a room, and we're on the phone, and Rhoda and Celeste are on the phone, and then we project out with a sound system the University of Minnesota tech guys bring. So they're big boxes of sound system.
They're bringing three speakers together.
Yeah, yeah. And so, we're projecting through a phone conference system, but when people are on the webinar, they're not on any telephone. They're just got their computer on and their audio system. And audio has been a big problem for us, what the sound and the feedback and issues like that. But I think it's Minnesota's audio, not the conference phone. So, yes, Allison.
Do you have any issues with any questions from
Actually, that's been a lot of fun. The questions have been really fun. The old Adobe system does have the chat box, and people are putting in their questions on the chat box, so everybody can see that chat box and the questions that are going up there. So I just try to look at the questions while Rhoda is presenting and then read the questions to Rhoda so she can answer, or Celeste. The specialists can all answer the questions. We usually get through them. If we don't get through them, we try to have those incorporated into the webinar or the online learning module, because those are things people wanted to know. Yeah.
So. Well, you said it could be self-sustaining because it's generating money. Is there any vision for how that could go forward?
Well, yeah, because if you look at, I don't know, can we move back here? If you go back to the beginning where we had that money chart, whoops, here, so you can see down at the bottom, so we had like $670 we generated from the Raspberry one. So I try to pay the specialists $200 each for doing this. Rhoda doesn't always claim her money, though. You know, she's got to send the invoice in. So it depends. But that's the incentive for a specialist to be kind of paid for it. And if that's not a big deal, then. So if we have three of those, that's $600 right there. Then we got to pay the technician. So we're not quite making it there. We'd maybe have to charge a little more or promote it a little bit more to get to a break-even point. But I believe it's possible to do this. Because we are kind of almost there, and as I said, we've only spent about $5,000 a year to really do this. Then you have the conference phone to pay for, but yeah. But people are willing to pay for it. When I see this and see the Master Gardeners, that just the convenience of being in their home to watch it live and be able to ask those questions, even though it is posted and recorded.
And there's no charge.
There's no charge for the archive. That'll sit there for about 2 months, maybe 3 months, until the student that I have converts it to an online learning module in campus.extension.org. And then those online learning modules are all $10 each. So it's got a short life for recording, and then we think the $10, because that Master Gardeners can take that for continuing ed, we hope that's another added incentive there.
So Master Gardeners can get this for continuing ed for the live sessions as well?
I think they probably could. We don't really give a certificate for that, but we do track the numbers. The host sites are there, and then we don't really follow up much with that. I assume Master Gardeners are following up themselves. But yes, you know, I think most states would count that. Yes, David. Yeah, eExtension's real good about that. We can go in, and I could have talked about that part today. There are people taking those all the time. It's probably not a good idea that when somebody signs up for one, I get an email. So I get 4 or 5 emails a week that people, Master Gardeners, are taking these. So the campus.eExtension.org is where those learning modules are housed. And